Welcome to the Washington Heights Church weekly podcast. We do this to help people feel at home at WHC, where we help people meet and follow Jesus. Thank you for joining us. Well, hey, thanks for joining us today. And sitting down with me is the most dangerous worship leader in America these days. And as we try to help you be more familiar with the people who are on the Washington Heights staff and on the leadership team, today Mike McGill is joining me. Thanks for being here, Mike.
Absolutely. Happy to be here. This is fun.
Hey, tell us a little bit about yourself, Mike. Where are you from? Tell us about your family.
Well, my wife and I and our four kids, we moved out here about 5 years ago from San Diego, where both of us were pretty much raised. I was actually born in Nebraska, but we moved out to San Diego when I was about three. My wife, Lee, she was born and raised in San Diego, so she likes to clout that over me that she was actual true native San Diego. But yeah, we came out here, our four kids, Gavin, Cadence, Gracie, and Cammy. We absolutely love being out here, and worship is a big part of my life, and you know, we just have a ton of fun. All three of my girls are dancers. My wife is a dance instructor, so constant dancing fills our house. I'm not allowed to dance, according to my wife, and she's not allowed to sing in the house. That's our ongoing rule.
Yeah, it's wiser for some of us not to dance. I'm in that category myself. Describe your role here at Washington Heights. I know we talked about worship, but it's a little bit bigger than that.
Yeah, that's right. My official title is the creative pastor. And so in addition to all things worship, I oversee all of the creative element, the graphics, the videos, the design, basically the way Washington Heights sort of looks and feels, whether that's on a digital platform or on the stage, you know, and so it kind of encompasses all of that, which is a lot of fun because I enjoy doing all of that kind of stuff. Mm.
But that's not the job that you had when you came here. So talk a little bit about your journey here through different responsibilities.
Yeah, so I actually started off in ministry in San Diego. I worked for about 3.5 years there as a children's pastor, which was sort of my entry into ministry. My dad was a pastor. I'm a preacher's kid, so I've been around the church for a long time. But honestly, for the longest time, had wanted nothing to do with ministry. I saw the toll that it can take, and you know what it takes to be in ministry, and I thought it wasn't going to be any part of my life. But God clearly had other plans, and so for about 3 years, I worked as a children's pastor in California. And then when we decided to move, we kind of expanded that horizon on what, you know, job criteria kind of thing I was looking for, and came out here to Utah at Washington Heights. And for the first few years here, I was the youth pastor overseeing grades 7 through 12, which was, you know, kind of another stepping stone in that ministry direction, which I absolutely loved. I loved every minute of working with the youth, and I actually miss it quite a bit. It was a lot of fun, but you know, then God provided another entryway, another stepping stone in my ministry journey. And now, you know, doing all things tech and worship and creative and just kind of putting another tool in my tool belt, which is pretty exciting.
Mm. And you've excelled in each of those areas. So who knows what God ultimately has in store, right?
That's right. Who knows?
Hey, so let me ask you a question, a very specific question that we got asked a few years ago now, and I had never heard it before, but I wonder, in a day like ours where culture is changing and familiarity with the church is less and less for people, you know, who just don't have a background in that, we had somebody in the area come and they heard the congregation singing and they said, "Why do you sing?" Well, how would you answer that question? Why do we sing?
Well, that's a big question, and we could probably fill up like a whole series of podcasts in that single question. However, to simplify that, there's plenty of scriptural references from the Bible that talk about praising God, and I think we've, unfortunately, in our, you know, Western culture, we've kind of minimized the term worship to singing. Worship is so much more than that. It's a time of praising God for who he is, what he's done for us. It's a time of celebrating, and we can worship God through singing. We can worship God through our giving, through our sacrifices, through loving others, through showing compassion, through spending time in his word. All those are forms of worshiping God, but we spend a time in our service singing to God as a form of worship. Because it's such a simple and emotional way to get creative with God and have a connection with him. And there's something, you know, whether it's Christian music or not, there's something about music that stirs our soul. And I believe that's something that God has implanted into us. You know, if you go and look back in the Psalms and read stories of David where he's dancing through the streets, singing and crying out to God, people thought he was crazy because of how celebratory he was over God. And, you know, he writes about how we should be using the cymbals and the strings and all the stringed instruments and creating this, what he writes as a joyful noise to God. And so that's what we attempt to do. We attempt to create a joyful noise through music. That's just another experience of being able to praise God.
And I know you and I are both taking some master's classes right now. We commiserate once in a while about all of that. And I know that one day you were just sharing with a lot of excitement about what you had unpacked there. That a lot of times we call the singing portion of a service worship,
right?
But worship is way bigger than that, isn't it?
In fact, in the Old Testament, the first time that the word worship is used is in a passage where Abraham has been commanded by God to sacrifice his firstborn. Now, that may seem like a crazy situation, and if you're new to the Bible and you're like, what is all this? There's a lot to unpack there. However, the Bible writes that Abraham went up to the mountain to worship God. It mentions nothing of Abraham singing or strapping a guitar to his back or bringing drums along with him, but his form of worshiping God was in the form of a sacrifice. And in fact, in the Old Testament, that's what that means. It means to bow lowly down before, and that's a form of worshiping God. And we can even do that even when we are singing to him. It's a form of saying, God, I surrender my life to you. I raise my hands up in surrender and letting you take complete control of my life because I realize you're God and I'm not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I came across a statement recently by John Piper, who's a pastor and an author, and he said, missions exists because worship does not.
Wow.
Right? And so the need to go and share the good news of God exists because maybe we're not doing all that we can in the arena of worship, because if we were doing that, right, the joy of being related to God would be so evident.
100%. 100%. Yeah.
So let's talk specifically about the type of music that we do at Washington Heights, because, you know, reading in the history of the church, the longest tenured music, so to speak, was Gregorian chant, of all things. But then there was this incredible time of the Reformation, and you had all the hymns come out of that time, out of pretty much out of Western Europe. And here we are doing something that's a little bit different than both of those. Why?
Well, and even like you alluded to, it's the types of, you know, praising and singing music in form of worship was based on their cultural setting. And that's exactly what we are doing. The music that we choose to play is sort of based on the current contemporary trending worship songs that a lot of these, you know, major popular worship bands and churches are producing. It's what America is familiar with. If you tune into any Christian radio channel, K-Love or anything like that, or if you have, you know, iTunes or Spotify and look up top worship music, that's a lot of what we draw to, because we know that's what people, if they go and listen to worship music, are going to be playing. And we found that the contemporary styles, they meet and need all the needs and fulfill those, you know, those needs that we have to praise God in a biblical way, you know, so we're not speaking anything unbiblical or anything like that, but it's a form of creative music. It's fun and enjoyable, and it stays contemporary with where we're at in our culture.
And you know, in John 4:24, Jesus said that, you know, his worshipers would worship him in spirit and in truth. It's interesting. There's no stylistic commentary
That's right.
on that. And music has changed through the different seasons of the church. Are we making any kind of statement about what music is right and wrong to do in the church?
I don't think so. I think there is a, you know, a lot of comment I receive is, oh, you know, I love it when we used to do this hymn, and I love it, you know, I love this old song, and how come we don't do this one anymore? And it's not because we don't like those songs. It's not because we think those songs are, you know, not biblical or not scriptural or anything like that. But a lot of it has to do, like I mentioned, with our cultural shift and just where things are at. We try to play music that if somebody were coming off of the street for the very first time, had never experienced church before and walked in and they hear the music, does it sound like something that they might hear on the radio today? And that answer is yes. You know, we try to play, you know, that's why if you come here or tune in online, we have the drums and the electric guitars and the keyboard, and that's all the elements that you'd find in current trending music, whether that's within the church or outside, happening today. And so we meet that need that people are looking for, particularly if they're looking for, you know, coming into church for the very first time.
Yeah, we don't want to make any statements about anybody else.
That's right.
Rather, we do what we believe God is calling us to do. And, you know, our big mission statement is helping people meet and follow Jesus. And one of the ways that we've talked about that, a value that we've talked about here at the church, is putting the needs of those who have yet to trust God's grace ahead of our own.
Yep.
And so, you know, I've got my favorite music, though. My favorite music is a little bit off the beaten track there. It's really loud and has a lot more of the drums and other stuff that you were talking about, even than what we do. But right, it's not about me,
right?
It's not about you. It's how can we most effectively share the Jesus of the Bible, whether we are singing and talking or creating visuals or graphics or whatever it is. We just want people to know the Jesus of the Bible. And sometimes we can create this cultural gap between the world in which we live in and the God of the Bible, that it seems like, man, that's another language, that's another time, that's another culture that has nothing to do with me. And, you know, we believe Jesus and his message relevant to every time and place. And so we're going to try to make that as real as we can.
That's right.
Well, Mike, how is it that if somebody, you know, were gifted musically and they like what they see and hear, what could they do to maybe become a part of what's happening at Washington Heights in that arena?
Yeah, we encourage people, you know, if people find that they have a knack and a love for music, and perhaps they play the guitar or the drums or they're a vocalist or whatnot, we do have an application process. You know, and people always kind of sometimes raise an eyebrow at that. Well, why wouldn't you let everyone who wants to worship worship? And the answer we give to that is because God desires excellence, and we want to strive to provide as excellent of a form of worship to him as possible.
Why are you looking at me when you say that?
I knew that a long time ago.
God did not make me a 10 in that arena.
No, but you know, it's we want to give our best to God, and we want to create, you know, the music, the worship experience through music that we're creating. We want it to be as excellent as possible, and that's why we're going to have an application process. We're going to sit down and see what level your skills are at, and if they're not, it's not saying that you're not good enough to worship God. We're reserving a very specific sound for what we're trying to produce and create, so that it's distraction free. There's no you know, obscurities in it, and so that people can truly enjoy an experience with God, because we're trying to create the best possible, the most excellent form of worship through music that we can give to God. So there is an application process, you know, and if that's something that you're interested in, I feel free to come into the church and just let somebody know that you want to maybe get connected with the worship team, and we'll sit down and chit chat and, you know, kind of do an interview type of thing, and then have you run through an audition with whatever it is that you're wanting to do. And that doesn't necessarily even have to be on the worship team as far as the band on stage. That could be, you know, maybe if you're interested in helping create that by being on the tech team or running production, running a camera, or working back in the sound booth, or whatever that may be. If you find that you've got a passion and a talent for that, we would love to bring you in and, you know, make you part of the team and have a conversation at least about it.
And all of us on the platform know there are a lot of people off the platform that make us look and sound
like that. There's a lot of people behind the scenes that really allow us to create what we do. And like, exactly, you're exactly right. That make us sound and look a lot better than we really do. That's right.
Hey, if it's been a great day of worship and the purpose has been accomplished, what is that? What is the goal that when we, and again, defining that, you know, more narrowly as the singing and the music portion of a service, what's our goal?
You know, it's really hard to evaluate that because worship is such an internal thing. It really comes from the place of a person's heart. And so, you know, judging success in, you know, worship music can sometimes be challenging, if we're trying to simply look at, you know, how people are experiencing it through their heart, because I know without any type of visual aid, I know there are people experiencing, you know, a deep reflective moment, a time, an experience with God without necessarily physically displaying it. Some people hate to sing out loud or even hear themselves sing. Some people refuse to raise their hand or close their eyes, but I know that there's worship happening. However, for me personally, being up on the stage and kind of having that perspective of being able to look out to our congregation, probably one of the most effective ways to know that it's been a good day of worship is the volume that I hear returning back to me. It is honestly, as a worship leader, one of my absolute most favorite things, when we're singing the chorus of a song and I can step back from the microphone and, you know, over the noise of the band and my guitar, we use in-ear monitors. So it's like wearing headphones to hear everything. Over all that, when I can hear people singing to God, that is fills me with so much joy. And you can really hear people just expressing and putting everything out there. You know, when I look out and see people closing their eyes and truly having an experience and a moment with God, or people surrendering everything and putting their hands up, not saying that those are the only indicators of successful worship, but they are indicators. Mm-hmm. And so it's exciting when we can see people truly surrendering, even if it's just for 15 minutes on a Sunday, just having that experience, that encounter with God. That is our desire and goal, is just to create an atmosphere and an experience where people can come and, you know, as a body, as a community, experience God together through music.
Mm. Yeah, we've used the word engagement, right? Mm-hmm. And there's no one specific way or 10 ways to measure that. It's kind of one of those things, you know it when you see it.
That's right, yep.
And you know it when you don't see it as well. And I think you have, in so many ways, helped that engagement level to increase by just creating that environment, right? Because we cannot manipulate that. We cannot, right, you know, manufacture that. That's something that happens in a relationship between a person and God. And when it does, it's powerful.
Yeah, it's very, very organic. And, you know, it's just, you know, if you've ever had the experience of just being in tune, in step with the Holy Spirit, that's what it is. You can't really explain it. You can't put a pinpoint definition on it, but when it's there and it's evident and real and super, super exciting.
Well, changing gears just a little bit, what is just one thing, could be anything, that you're excited about God doing right now?
Sort of along the lines of what we were just talking on, in my time as worship leader, and this is by no means trying to credit myself, but in my time, what I've witnessed and what I've seen is a dramatic increase in engagement. And that right there is so incredibly exciting. Watching people, like I said, surrender, watching people close their eyes and just having that, taking that moment where, you know, we have created this atmosphere, this time to experience God, and really taking advantage and capturing in on that. But probably more so than that is the increased number of first timers, or perhaps people stepping out of another faith and coming here for the first time and hearing the results of their experience is It's exhilarating. You know, I've been in ministry now. I'm coming up on, I don't know, 8 or 9 years. So I'm still sort of a ministry baby, if you will. But I've put a few years into it. And it's never been more of an exciting time being in ministry than it has been for me right now because of the wave. There's a wave that's happening of people people who have never experienced church, never experienced God, or maybe coming from a different train of thought, of faith system, and watching the awakening that happens in their life, whether that's through worship or just spending time here in community at Washington Heights or spending time in the Word, but watching that growth happen and that excitement behind it, it's fun. It makes what we get to do here a lot of fun and exciting. Yeah.
And God is doing something
right.
special here in Utah. I don't pretend to understand it all.
Yep.
But we get a lot of people who are checking out and maybe looking for the God that they have not been able to experience before.
Yeah.
And boy, when that connection happens, that is about as good as it gets.
Yeah. There's not much to explain the joy that you get from witnessing that. It's exciting.
No. But it certainly isn't all our doing either, right? We get to cooperate with God in what we do, but ultimately God is the one who works in those hearts and lives, and boy, we're thankful.
Well, and that's been one of the biggest lessons as a worship leader, someone who's on stage, it's very easy to make what we do about me. You know, leading the band, singing the songs, and when we have positive engagement, it's very, very easy to slip into that that mindset of, yeah, man, I did a really good job, and they're really liking the way my voice sounds today, and those little things, those little like little lies that the devil just tries to fill in my head to make it about me, and that's probably one of the biggest lessons I've learned in regards to all of this, is how little about me all of this is. Mm-hmm. You know, every time we walk out on that stage, yeah, my prayer is that God's name would be glorified, not my own. Every time that we give a message or collect offering or whatever that may be, joining out in our community, is that the name and the word of God would be made known rather than me. And it's a challenging lesson. It's an ongoing battle, but it is definitely at the center of everything we do here.
Yeah, pride is probably the most insidious of all sins. And I, you know, just in my own arena, relate to the days when I speak, and when I'm done, I'm thinking, oh man, I should have done that so differently, and it could have been so much better. And then someone will say, you know, how God spoke to them, and it's like, oh yeah, that's right. You don't need me.
Right.
And really, ultimately, at the end of the day, isn't about me, but go God. And those are important reminders whenever they come up. God doesn't need us, but he invites us to be a part of what he's doing, and what a privilege it is.
And for some strange reason, continues to keep using us.
Yeah, amen to that. Well, Mike, thank you. Our time is up here. Thank you for all you do at Washington Heights to make it just, you know, as easy for people to come to know and understand who the Jesus of the Bible is. And you and your family are a gift to us here, and we're just thrilled that you were here. Thank you for all you do.
Well, I appreciate it so much. Thanks for having me on. And it's been a journey, and will continue to be such a fun a journey that we're on, and just exciting to see where God's taken everything.
Mm. Thanks, Mike.
Absolutely.
We'll see you online these days or on the platform sometime soon.
Sounds good.
Thanks for joining us for the Washington Heights Weekly Podcast. A new podcast will post every Monday. We encourage you to check it out, subscribe to it as well. It'll come into your feed automatically. And if you want to share that with somebody that you know that maybe wants to find out a little bit more about Washington Heights, go ahead and share that. And we look forward to hearing from you as well. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time.